So I'm going to continue this morning our little mini-series on the miracle of money. There is plenty in the scriptures that talk about the area of money and possessions. Since we're talking about the miraculous, I wanted to take some Sundays and some sermons to get into what the scriptures teach us so that we can be in faith regarding our tithes and offerings. We can be in faith regarding our stewardship or the management of what God has put us entrusted into our life, that we can be in faith so that we can be, if I can use this term in church, be blessed, be prosperous, even as our soul prospers, and that we can be a blessing to others and help others to prosper as well. And that's my desire, is that everybody has faith in God's provision so that they can fulfill their vision. Because I believe that where God guides, he does provide. Now, sometimes there's little nuances, and just like everything else in the Christian walk, we're kind of trying to figure it all out. We're trying to get the truth of Scripture on it. But the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And money operates by faith just like everything else. It doesn't seem like it because it seems so tangible and so about the natural things, but really it's a spiritual principle. Because always when God deals with money in the Bible, he deals with it in regards to our heart. It's not about the law, it's about our heart. And I'm going to clarify some of that today. When I use the word law, I don't mean law in the sense of that there are natural laws, but there are laws that God has given in the old covenant that the children of Israel had to fulfill or that they had to obey. And we are redeemed from the curse. And the law has been fulfilled, and now what we do is we operate by grace to do what God tells us to do. But there are some principles, and those are the spiritual laws that I talk about. The principles of God relate to anybody, no matter whether they're the first people born on the planet or the last people that are left on the planet. Spiritual law applies to every single person. So today's message is going to be part practical. Some people really like practical stuff, so they know what to do. Another part of the message is going to be about principle, because you need to understand how God operates. And so we're going to talk about things from the practical, which will give you some simple things to do, and some principles which we need to understand about how God's system of his kingdom operate concerning the area of money and possessions. We will give you some advice on what you can do practically, so you have some instructions. We are going to give you some biblical principles on how God has designed the kingdom of God to operate. Now, let me explain. Everything that exists on the earth was created by God. Do you agree with that? I mean, every molecule, no matter what we've done with it after it's been created, everything has been created by God. And everything that we actually or potentially possess has been entrusted to us by God. Would you agree with that? Okay, now that's a little bit farther for us to come in line with, because a lot of times we think, I earned this money, or I did, you know, this is my stuff, but it's been entrusted to us by God. And that's an important principle. That's called the principle of stewardship or managership, and I'm going to talk about that in another Sunday, on another lesson. Also, God has established these spiritual laws that govern life and existence. And these are based, these laws of spiritual laws that are that govern life and existence, they are based upon his character and nature. And you just come up with ideas. These are a reflection of God's character and nature. The law of love is a law. The law of faith is a law. These are spiritual laws. And the law of stewardship. Now, there's what I'm going to talk to you about today that is very important, because it reflects God's character and his nature, and that is the principle of first things. Let me talk about that for a little while. The principle of first things. These laws that God has set up cannot be changed any more than God's character can be changed. God does not change. Okay, he's changeless. The laws, if they are violated, though, if they are violated, the laws that God has established, then it perverts or distorts our perception of God's reality, and it causes a curse to take place. It causes a curse, or another word would be causes corruption or chaos or disintegration, or if you're a scientist, entropy. You know, things disintegrate when you're not operating in the things of God. It just goes badly. Things are broken and they don't work. And life, for the most part, I see, is in a constant state of repair. We're trying to repair things that were broken because of sin. Can you understand that? I mean, this is not rocket science. You just have to watch a talk show and you'll find that out. Things are broken and people are trying to figure out how to fix it. And nowadays, instead of learning how to fix it, they're just trying to blame who broke it. That's another sermon. Now, we can be free, I want you to listen to this closely, we can be free from the curse that has come upon this earth through man's obedience of God's laws if, everybody say if we follow God's principles and system of redemption. Let me say that again. We can be free from the curse that has come upon the earth through man's disobedience of God's laws if we follow God's principles and system of redemption. And one of those laws is the principle of first things. Okay, let me explain. The entire creation operates on the principle of first things. When God is first, things go God's way. When God is not first, things go badly. Things disintegrate. Things are corrupt when God is not first. This is why the first commandment is have no other. Very good, very good. And have no other gods before me. Because if you have other gods before God, then God is not first and he's not involved. This blessing isn't on what's going on in your life. So God is first. He cannot be anything else. This is not like, you know, we get to decide what level God is on. I mean, we can honor him as a certain level, but when it comes to who God is, he is not anything but first. Say, God is first. Everybody say, God is first. He cannot change from being first. There is nothing before God but him. I mean, there's nothing before God. He is first. There is nothing before first. God is it. He cannot, out of kindness or politeness or fairness, as we might think, be second or third or assume a lower, lesser place other than God can't do that. There are some things God cannot do. He cannot lie, and God cannot be second. Now, the good news is if you're on God's side, you're on the side of the person who's first. I like that. I like being on God's side because God says when you're on my side, then I'm on your side. That's how you get there. That's how you get God on your side. Get on his. God does take sides, and he doesn't want to be second because he can't be second, or he ceases to be if he's not first. I'm trying to get this concept into your head, and it's a little hard, but there's a lot of things about God that we don't understand, and that's why he's God. When we follow the principle of first things that God has given to us, it redeems the things that are broken because of the curse, and it brings protection and prosperity and blessing to our life. This is why it's so important. And I believe this is a lot about what teaching and preaching the Bible is to be about. It's teaching and preaching about Jesus, and he came to redeem us from the curse. But in order to stay out from under the curse, we have to then put Jesus first and put him and God and his Father first in our life in order to continue to receive the grace that he bought and paid for us. Okay, and one of those things was today. You put God first by obeying his commandment to be baptized. Awesome, awesome. That is one of the things. And that brings tremendous blessing. It opens up the windows of heaven. It brings some deliverance in your life, and just on and on and on. And you can study more about that and what that provides for you. Now, look in Genesis chapter 1:1. It'll be up on the screen here, so you don't have to look it up if you don't want to. But Genesis 1:1, and I'm going to try to go through some of this pretty quickly here. Genesis 1:1 says this, In the beginning, what? Does it say in the beginning, you? Does it say in the beginning, the Babylonians? In the beginning, Adam and Eve? No, it says in the beginning, God. God's first. He was in the beginning. He was before all things, actually. All right? Another scripture, I don't have it up on the screen here, but it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, right? And the word was... And the word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was in the beginning. So God was in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and nothing was made that was made without him. Now, who was in the beginning?
God.
Who was before God? Nobody. Thank you, Dalvin. Nobody. Say it with confidence.
Nobody.
Nobody was before God. What was before God?
Nobody.
Nothing was before God. Nobody, nothing, no how. He was first. Has always been. Never will be anything else but first. Okay, listen to Colossians. I love this. This is from the New Living. And I'll just read through it here. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. This is Christ. He existed before anything was created and is supreme, number one, hashtag number one, over all creation. He is supreme. He is number one. He was before all things and he is number one. For through him, Jesus, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen realm. There's all that there going on too. And he's in charge of it. He's first over all that as well. Everything was created through him and for him. In verse 17 it says, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He's just first. If he's not first, creation falls apart. Christ is also the head of the church. He's first in the church, okay? Which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme, number one, over all who rise from the dead, the firstborn from the dead. So Christ is first in everything. And God, Christ and his Father are one. So they're first, okay? In your notes, if you're writing this down, just write this. The principle of first things means God is first in all things. God is first in all things. Say this. God is first in all things. Now, there's nothing we can do to make him be anything but first. Now, he may not be always first in our lives, and that's where the curse comes in. That's where brokenness comes in. That's where disintegration comes in, entropy comes in. And we wonder why things are going so badly. But if we put God first and we trust him that by putting him first, the rest will be blessed, then he can establish his principles of firstness or first things, which means things are protected and things are provided for. Okay? God is never not first. Now listen to this description of Jesus from the Apostle John. Just wanted to give you some more scripture on this. It says, I'm the Alpha, which is what? The first. And the Omega, which is the last. The beginning, the end. Another Revelation says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 21:6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the first and the last. He is first. Everywhere, he is first. He is first. Not because we make him first or think about him as first, it's just because he is. Okay? He is just first. Have I worn this record out yet? Okay? I'm getting somewhere, so stick with me. He was in the beginning before anything else was. The firstness of God is an unchangeable law or principle that will be our best opportunity for God's blessing, if we honor that. Both he is first in the unseen realm and in the creation or the natural realm. In fact, he is first in every dimension that exists. Probably God's firstness is a dimension we haven't even discovered yet. There may just be a whole dimension called the firstness of God. I think that all dimensions that exist, he is first in all those dimensions. It has his own. He's just got the God dimension. And he's first in that dimension as well. There isn't anything else in there. God's firstness causes all of creation to function in this perfect harmonious order of completeness and beautiful design. He's perfect. He can't be anything. God can't be more than perfect. Because perfect is as perfect as you can get. And that's why God can't change, because he can't get any better. He can't get any more complete. He can't get any more first. Now, this principle has been violated, and I'm going to show you a couple of examples of what happens when it is violated. If you just want to listen to this, this is recorded in Isaiah 14. God is first, and he's got his creation, and here's what happens. In verse 12, it says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will be first. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, above where God rules. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be first like the Most High." He got so full of himself, he thought he could be first and God would be second or wherever. So what happens? And this is good to learn from others' mistakes, isn't it? It's nice to learn from your mistakes. I always tell people, I like to learn from others' mistakes, save myself a lot of pain. What happens? As soon as he said, I will be first, he got kicked out of heaven at the speed of lightning, at the speed of light. That's how long it takes for the curse to come upon you when God's not first. Okay, watch this. Lucifer violated the principle of first things, and he was gone. He was gone. The next violation of this principle we see here, we see this in Adam and Eve in Genesis 2. And if I have it, Rachel, you can put it up. If not, just listen. In Genesis chapter 2, God creates Adam and Eve to rule over the earth, to have dominion, right? They're serving God. They were created not as slaves, but as a partner with God to rule over the earth. However, because God has to be first, or because God is first, he wants to protect them and establish for them or with them this understanding that there is a protection for you so that you don't violate the principle of first things. So what did God do? He puts up a sign that says, I am first in the Garden of Eden. He puts up a sign that says, I am first. Like there are signs, there's instructions. If you drive in, there's a little sign that says sanctuary around there. When you come in this door, there's a sign there that says, please don't bring your drinks or food in here. There's a sign that says men's room. There's a sign. It's very simple. God gives Adam and Eve a sign that says, I am first. You know what that sign was? A tree. It's a tree. All right. And what is the tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says, no, that's mine. Don't touch that tree, okay? That's mine. Don't touch that, because when you do, bad things are going to happen, right? Now, does God ever tell you, this is mine, if you touch that, bad things are going to happen? Well, we'll find out today, because we're talking about that God has given us a sign that he has got to be first, or bad things happen, okay? All right, so that sign was a tree. He says here, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord commanded, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shouldn't eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Why? Was it poisonous? No, it wasn't poisonous. It wasn't poisonous. It was because if you ate of it, then God would no longer be first. And when God's not first, everything dies. Things fall apart. Okay? When God isn't first, if you're writing this down, write this down. God isn't first, everything turns to chaos and all hell breaks loose. Okay? God places a visible sign in the garden and says, no trespassing, because I'm first here. And if you honor me as first, all right, if you honor me as first, you can have everything else. But if you don't honor me as first, even the things that you do have will turn to corruption. This is pretty simple. I need some more amens here this morning. This is pretty simple. God's first. It's not what's on first. It's who. Who's on first? The tree is, I believe this because I believe that the principle first things is a protection for us, but it is also a test. First things is a test. This tree was a test of the principle of first things, of every tree you may eat, but this one is reserved for God. So at the very beginning, we see this principle taught and given us a sign to Adam and Eve that all of our life will be blessed if we allow God to be first, but we have to allow God to rule and reign over our life and telling us this is what's first in our life. Now, let's look at this principle also in Exodus chapter 13, and I think I do have this up there. Operating the principle of first things, how do we do that? What it causes our life to be either under God's blessing or the violation of it causes us to be under the natural curse that exists. This principle affects the establishment. This principle of first things affects the establishment of our ability to be managers of God's things. Here's the principle that I believe of management stewardship. We'll talk more about it in the Sundays to come. If you are faithful over the little that God has given you, what will happen? Yes, you'll get to manage more stuff. Okay? Now, not everybody wants to do that. Not everybody can be faithful with little. But the principle is of stewardship is not you're going to be ruler over a lot and hopefully you can handle it, because God doesn't do that with his stuff. He has to entrust us with a little. He gives you a win, okay? And he knows the best. So we'll talk about that at some more. But this principle of first things is what allows the establishment of stewardship to take place in our life so that we can be able to rise to our full potential. And I don't believe that if we continue to be faithful with what God has given us, there will ever be a limit. Now, there may be a limit with our spiritual gifts, but spiritually, I believe that even if you're faithful with and you've used every spiritual gift and ability and resource you have, that God wouldn't go, wow, they've done perfect and they've honored me with the first with everything there, I'm going to give them more gifts. I'm going to give them more gifts. There was a time when we first began out in the ministry, and Lori had never really done any singing before. She'd done a little worship leading, and she was a singer, kind of a worship leader singer. But we were faithful to use the gift that God had given us, and she began to practice and use her gift of music, singing. And then one day there was a woman that came through our Bible school at Norval Hayes Bible School named Jenny Grine, and she called all the musicians up, and she was praying for them, and she got to Pastor Lori, or Lori at the time, and she said, my daughter, you're never going to sing the same again. And she prayed for her, and the power of God hit her, and she got up, and the next day she started singing, and her voice had changed. And I'm like, well, I want that too. You see, she was faithful over the little that God had given her, and it was a little voice. It was nice, but but then all of a sudden, the gift increased. There was a strong anointing on it, and she became, not just a worship leader, but a psalmist, where the anointing of God touched people through her music. And I believe what happens is when you're faithful over little, God can even change the natural things to increase your gifts. So when you're faithful, Delvin, to use the gifts that God has given you, he'll increase it. He may give you some more. He may give you some other ones. But he can increase the ones that you have so that it expands. It takes you from one level. You're faithful over little. You become a ruler over much. And you've been very faithful to do that. And I believe God is going to continue to promote the gift that he's given you. And it's going to be a blessing to many, many people, including your family, that God is going to be able to use your testimony to touch many lives. So just be faithful with that. Put God first in it. And realize that you don't own that gift. You don't own your calling. God gave it to you and entrusted you with it. Okay? So a lot of times and this is a sideline here because I was talking about the money part of it, but when it comes to certain things that God has entrusted us with, like a gift or a talent, many times we use it for ourselves. You know, we have a certain job that we use that talent at, or we like to use that gift. If it's craftsmanship, we fix up our own this or that or whatever. And sometimes we don't realize that gift was given to you by God to serve in the kingdom, to build up his church. First and foremost. Because if God is first, then you'll use that gift for him first. Okay. Now, I don't know how that all plays out, but just be open to the fact that God might want to use you to that gift to serve him first and then yourself. Because your gift will make room for you and give you a place where you can get paid to use your gift, which is probably what many of you do. But whether you get paid to use it or not, always use it for the glory and honor of God first, because that's the principle of first, and then he'll bless all the rest of it. So all of your time, it's got to go first. Your money, it's got to go first. Your possessions, your relationships have to be honoring to God first. All of your accomplishments, all of these things, God just entrusts. These are gifts from God to you, and he wants to be honored with them as first. So the establishment principle here of first things, what it does is it will protect us from violating who God is if we put him first. In other words, we will not walk in idolatry if God is first. In other words, if God isn't first and something else is, you have an idol, a God that is a false God or a God that has no power or impotence. Like money can be trusted in more than God can be trusted in. And so that's putting money before God. And then money becomes an idolatrous thing. You don't want to trust money. Because remember we talked about it last Sunday? Money has a voice. It's called mammon. It speaks to you and say, if you have me, you'll have everything. No. If you have God, you'll have everything. If you have money, you may think you have everything, but money has wings. As soon as you think it, flies out of your pockets and it's gone. How many of you have money and it flew away? In fact, you thought you had some and then it was gone. And where did it go? Honey, what did you do with my... It is true. Yep. We'll talk more about that at some other point. But here, back to Exodus 13. It says this. This is the establishment of first things to the children of Israel. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born. Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me. It is mine. So not only is God first, he owns the first. It belongs to him. He's really into this first, being first thing, isn't he? You know why? Because he can't be anything else. He's not really into it. It just, he is first. I'm not really into being a Wilkie. I just am a Wilkie. I didn't choose that. So I'm not really into, I'm just, I am. God is first, okay? He didn't choose one day. He can't be anything else. All right, I know. We've heard that record. So then, so the firstborn belongs to who? Okay, the first things belong to who? So he's not greedy or selfish or egotistical. He just exists as first, and he's trying to protect us from violating this principle of first things, because when we do, then things are cursed and not blessed. Simple enough? Well, if not, you've got me here to keep going. All right. The principle of first things means not only is God first, but everything that is first is his. Here, God plainly declares that the firstborn, it is mine. It belongs to him. God has to, and this is something that you want to remember, Dalvin, write this down. God has to possess what's first in order to protect what's first. God has to possess what's first in order to protect what's not first. In other words, if God doesn't possess the first, then he cannot protect the rest. If he possesses the first, he will protect the rest. Okay? In fact, God says 16 times in Scripture, the firstborn belongs to me. Okay? Here in Exodus chapter 13, and if you see it up there, just put it up on the screen, Rachel. It says this, you must present all firstborn sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord, for watch this, they belong to him. They're his. A firstborn donkey may be brought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place, but if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you must buy back every firstborn son. Now we're talking about sacrificing to God the first things. And if you don't sacrifice it to God, you're going to lose it anyway. Okay? What does buy it back mean? Now, this is an interesting principle because it relates to what Jesus has done for us. He bought us back from death or from sin or from corruption or the curse. According to the principle of first things, the firstborn was either to be sacrificed or bought back or redeemed. If the firstborn was designated as unclean, he said, then it's to be redeemed or purchased back with a clean and spotless lamb. Very simply, I know because we're not used to thinking this way, very simply, the clean firstborn animal had to be sacrificed to God as first. All right? If the firstborn was unclean, then it had to be redeemed by something that was clean, a clean spotless lamb. Now, the children of Israel knew this. This is what happened to them on Passover. They sacrificed a clean, spotless lamb for the first male-born child. That's Passover. Remember that? So to redeem them, God said, kill a lamb, put it over the doorpost in the form of a cross up there, okay? And the firstborn will be redeemed. Now, how many of you were born clean? Nobody. We're all born in sin. I know Tom doesn't, but we'll help him here. You were born in sin. You were born under the curse. None of us were born clean. I know. It wasn't really a trick question. So what has to happen, we, to be presented to God, have to be redeemed by a spotless lamb. Anybody know how that had happened? Now this is a good time to say Jesus, because it is the answer. Jesus, a spotless lamb. John the Baptist, behold this Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's going to redeem all of those who were born unclean. Okay? Jesus, watch this principle now, is the principle of first things. Jesus is the firstborn son, right? The firstborn son. He was perfect, spotless, without blemish, right? We were born unclean. So God's firstborn came to redeem us by being sacrificed for us. Jesus literally was God's first fruit offering to redeem and bless everything else that was under the curse. God was the first tither. Aren't you glad that God tithes? That's a pretty drastic one. Not just passing on 10% of your income, you're passing on the firstborn son and having him be sacrificed so all the other kids can be redeemed and be made clean. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Now here's another dimension of it. God didn't wait to give his firstborn son until we repented and decided to follow God. He gave his firstborn son in faith before we ever believed. Watch the scripture, it says this. God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners or still sinners, Christ dies for us. So before we were redeemed, while we were still sinners, God offers up his firstborn, firstfruits son and sacrifices him. He does it by faith. He does it by faith, believing that we'd receive his redemption. In the same way, when we offer up our first fruits offering to God, we do it in faith before God's blessing comes, before we see God do anything in our life, out of obedience to the principle of first things, that God is first. And then, through that faith, we see the windows of heaven open up. We see the blessing on the other 90% of the things that we haven't sacrificed or given up to God, okay? But we bring our first fruits to God of all of our increase by faith. Now look at these, listen to these scriptures. Proverbs 3:9, it says, to honor the Lord as first with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So what happens here is we are making a statement by saying the thing that could be the most important to us, the thing that sustains our life, the thing that we work hard for, our money and our possessions, we are going to say, God, you're first. In order for you to bless all that we have, we are going to offer to you the first fruits of it. We're going to have first fruits. It's not fruits, it's first fruits. Everybody say first. You know, the title of this message is really the principle of first things. Okay, just want to make sure we're not, you know, we're getting it today. This is important. If you don't get anything out, you can leave here today going, God is first. Amen. And then the second question would be, is he first in my life? Because that's the question we ask every day when we get up. God, I want you to be first in my life today. That takes place every day, and sometimes maybe more than one time. But it needs to be asked, okay? So he says, honor the Lord with whatever your increase is. Whatever increases your bank account, this is what the Lord calls your increase. Whatever increases your possessions, God says, I want you to honor me with that by putting me first. This is the how. This is the how, to honor him by honoring the Lord with your increase. This is the how. He says, bring me the first fruits on the first day of the week, and that is the way you put me first with your money and your possessions. Okay? So if you're writing this down, I want you to write this down. This is what we call the tithe, or the 10%, which is what was established for the people, children of Israel, to tithe, to bring God the first. Everybody say, first. Just keep that word in front of you, in your lips. Bring to God the what? The okay, and it's not to bring God 10%. Don't bring God the tithe. Bring God the first 10%. You know the difference? You could bring God the second 10%, and then what happens? The second. God's not second. God's not second. So you could use an illustration here, and I was going to bring some dollar bills or some bills here, but I'll just show you. I'll just tell it to you. So you have so you do something, and somebody gives you $100. This is an easy round number. We're going to do math here. Easy round number, $100, and they give it to you in 10 $10 bills. Okay, so for those of you who went to public school, 10 $10 bills equals 100. All right? Yes. Oh, come on. And so you have 10, and so now you want to give God, you've got 10 $10 bills. You want to give God the first 10%. Well, which one is the first? Brother David.
The one before you spend any of it.
The one you give to God first. The first one that comes out of your hand, whatever you do with that first one, that's the first. All right. Okay, so remember, now I was talking about principle, let's get practical, right? Remember I said I was going to give you a little to-do list, so how do I do this? All right, so you get $100, if you're going to put God first, what do? Before you give that $10 to the Quick Mart, before you give $10 to your savings account, before you give $10 to the electric company, first thing you do? You put that money aside, right? Yeah. And you consecrate it, you dedicate it to putting God first. It's not just, oh yeah, I get 10%, boom. I mean, I've done that. I've said, okay, I'm in a hurry or whatever. I got to write my tithe check or whatever, and you got to do this. And sometimes you're in a hurry. But you know what? I believe if you take the time to honor God with this, you want to take some time to say, God, you're first. Because you don't want to just throw that money away. Not that God's legalistic, but if you want to process this, you say, God, you're first, and I'm trusting that because I'm putting you first with this, that the other $90 that I have here are going to have your blessing on it. I'm not going to throw $10 at my car and then have the other tires blow out. That this is going to bless my life. Okay? Okay? Let me walk you through this here real quick. All right. Honoring God, I'm just trying to see which stories I want to share with you. There was one more story that I wanted to share with you, that when Cain and Abel brought their offerings to God. If you remember the story, the Bible says this about Abel, about that story, Cain and Abel. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of his ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and the fat of their portions. Watch this. And the Lord had regard for Abel's offering, but for Cain in his offering, he had no regard. Cain was very angry about that. God didn't regard Cain's offering, but he did for Abel. What's up with that? Abel put God first. Cain just gave an offering. Now, you would say, well, come on, God. I mean, we're giving an offering here. It's the best I can do. It's not about the best we can do. It's about following God's principle of first things. Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. Cain, he just gave some offering. Cain could have brought the first fruits, but it doesn't say that, does it? And I believe that's why God was rejected his offering. Now, here's what we need to do. We don't want God to reject our offering. He said, well, if God's going to reject my offering, I'll give God what I want, when I want, however I want. No, you can't do that, because that's saying that I know better than God. We've got to bring it the way God asks us to bring it. Okay? So if our tithe isn't first fruits, then it really is not honoring God as first. And I want you to get this. I mean, if you're going to tithe, then why not make it the first thing? And the reason is because we don't many times, is because we have that little insecurity, will I have enough? I mean, we've all been there. Maybe we've tithed and we're going, whoops, now I'm going to be late on my bills, right? This never happened to you? Okay, just me? Okay. But that's a time when if I go, I tithe, and now I'm going to be late on my bills, I go like, okay, so God, you're first. You promised to bless everything else, and I have to stay in faith. I don't back up. I don't make, you know, contingency plans and, you know, go sleepless and all that kind of stuff. I go, God, I stay in faith towards God's blessing. And that's a matter of the heart. This isn't about legalism. This is a matter of the heart. Do I trust God? Because remember the scripture we read last week where Jesus said, put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you? Remember what he said right before that? I think it was right before that. Yeah, he says, why do you worry about what you're going to eat or where you're going to live? I mean, these are the things that the Gentiles seek after. Life is more than that. What is life? Life is about a relationship with God, and a relationship with God is about putting him first. And when God is first, baby, I'm serious. Now, maybe we don't understand this because not all of us are living like this, but if you begin to get into a groove where God becomes first, some drastic things may change in your life. Drastic things may change about who you hang out with and what you watch on television and where you go and where you spend your money and all these things. And God may just have some, see, what happens is when he's first, he rearranges the furniture sometimes. Okay, and you get really weird when you put God first, because people around you don't understand how you could give all that money to God or to church. Okay, so what we have to understand is that we don't have to worry; we have to be obedient, and God can take care of the rest, and he will bless us the rest. Now, last scripture I want to talk to you about, and this is the principle of first fruits where we see it played out in the life of our actual dollars and money and offerings, and this is in Malachi chapter 3, and I do have the scriptures. I want to just go over this briefly. This is probably the most well-known promise that God gives us regarding our money, regarding offerings, and it's how God instructs the children of Israel to go about it. In verse 7, he says, yet from the days of your father, he's talking to the Israelites, you have gone away from my ordinances or my principles and have not kept them. He says, so return to me. Return to me, and I will return to you. And that's always God's promise. He never kicks you out. If you return to him, he returns to you. And so they said to the Lord, but you said, in what way shall we return? And he says, will a man rob God? It's a rhetorical question. Nobody would rob God, right? Nobody would do that. He says, but yet you have robbed me. And you say, well, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. Now, this is a pretty challenging rebuke here to say, you know, we want to return to God. And he goes, because we still come to the temple and worship you. We still talk about you. We still have your name on our lips. We still, you know, watch our favorite TV preacher. So he's, how have we robbed you? And he goes, this is how you've robbed me. And the reason is because Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, right, your heart is also. So see, we can't get away from this fact that our stuff and our hearts are connected. And so the way we show God that we are putting him first is by doing with what we have what God says to do. And he says, you've robbed me with tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse. God didn't do that, but the curse is there, for you have robbed me. Verse 10. So then he says, so bring all the tithes. Verse 10. Bring all the tithes. Or another translation says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse or into his house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. So here you have the first fruits, the tithe coming, the 10%, and he says offerings as well, but let's just say the 10%, and that is put aside as first to God. Then he says the other 90% will be blessed in such a way that you can't even contain it all. Now, I don't know about you. I don't understand what you can't contain it all means. But he says basically there, he is going to bless your life in ways that you can't contain. Now, we all go through financial stresses and ups and downs and challenges and all that. I mean, if you're in life, that's going to happen to you. But if you are consistent to just say, my heart is going to be connected to God through wherever my treasure is, my heart is also, by putting him first with my stuff, then whatever you go through, up and down challenges, God will be there to make sure he takes care of you and that your life will be blessed. Instead of stressed, it will be blessed. I remember my father who, when he came back from World War II in 1945 or 46, he went back to work for his father who ran a company named Wilkie Dairy Company. And his father all of a sudden became sick and passed away. And so my dad had a choice. Do I pick up where my father left off and run this company, or do I go do what I was planning on doing before? I think he was going to be a mechanic or something. And he goes, well, I'm going to try to honor my father by keeping this company going. So my mom and dad got together, this is their story, and the company was in debt. I mean, it was deeply in debt. They were in the red, and it would have been easier for them just to walk away. They decided, we're going to try to make this work. And my dad began to pray, and God began to show him how to run this company, to turn it around and make it profitable. But he said to him, at that time when he took it over, there was 50 dairies who operated in the city of Milwaukee. This is the dairy state. 50 dairies that operated in the city of Milwaukee. And now at the time he was telling me this story, he said, and today, we're the only one left. And he says, do you want to know why? He says, because I've always been a tither. That's what he said. He says, I've always been a tither, and God has always provided for us. I believe that when you put God first with your tithes and offerings, he gives you the wisdom to know how to run your life, to become prosperous, to become blessed, and to be a blessing to many others. And for those of you who go back a ways, my dad's been gone now since 2002 for quite a while, that he was not a person that would use any of his money for himself. He would use his money to help support the work of God. Part of the reason we're here is my dad helped support the work that God was doing here, but he did it for the three or four other pastors that he was a part of as well. Well, Bonnie, you knew my dad. You know what a generous man he was. And so he said to me, the reason why God had blessed him, is I've always been a tither, and I've always trusted God to take care of us. So that's my personal experience with somebody who's actually done it. And so then when Lori and I went into ministry at the age of 24, shortly after we were married, we began to serve God in ministry, which means that I never had a real job. I mean, I didn't have... that I lived by faith. I mean, I was dependent upon God's supply. All right? I was dependent upon God's... I didn't work for an organization. I just said, God, you're going to supply. And however God supplied, you know, he supplied, and he gave us provision for the vision, like I said, and we would be able to... You know, not always be able to do everything we wanted to do, but we had everything that we needed for to do what God wanted us to do. Now, and that's the key. So, trust that you have everything that you have that you need for to do what God asks you to do. Trust that you have everything that you need to do what God asks you to do, and put God first in everything. Put God first in everything, and watch the chaos, the confusion, the demonic attacks, the devourer that comes, be rebuked by God, because he said he would do it. And when God rebukes something, what happens? It works. Pastor says, it just works. It just works. It works. And now this is how tithing works. And it's so simple that by age 3, our daughter Laurel was doing this. This is how simple it is. When you get your increase, you immediately take the first 10% and you set it aside and you honor God with it. And then when it's time to bring it to the storehouse of God, you bring it. And sometimes we do bring it, and we're going to do that this morning. We bring it, but it's not giving to God. Now, this is important. That's why I said when God is first, you can't give anything to God that belongs to him, right? You return to God the first 10%. By saying, God, you are first with my 10%. Okay? Then on the first day of the week, you bring it, of all the first 10% of all your increase, and this sacrifice to God is a sweet-smelling sacrifice to him, and he says, if I am first, then I will bless the rest of the 90%. And trust him to do that. You've got to trust him to do that. All right? If you do it by faith, before you see the blessings of God, You're actually putting God to the test. And I'm very apprehensive about doing this. But he said to do it, so I'm more apprehensive about not doing it. How many of you have ever given your tithe and you've not put God to the test? Well, all of us have done that. We've just come and just kind of gone through it or whatever. We've given something and we've never put God to the test. Well, he says, if you're putting me first, then prove me that I'm first. Prove it that I'm first. I believe what's going to happen is that some of you are going to begin to process this first thing with God with your tithe. Instead of just giving some 10%, you're going to process it by putting God first, and all of a sudden you're going to see more blessing on the 90% that you have. And that's my hope for you today. Okay? It's my hope for you that even though you're faithful to give 10%, God wants you to give the first 10% and test him and prove him so that God can be glorified and your lives can be blessed. Would you bow your heads for just a minute? I hope you learned something today. I really felt that God had his word on my heart because it's so important that it can change your life and destiny forever. Your life will never be the same when God's first. Your ministry will never be the same when it's first. See, if he can trust you by putting him first, he can trust you with anything else. It requires faith, and it requires obedience, and it really does. But God wants you to know that he's faithful. So God, we just thank you. We humble ourselves right now, and we say, Lord, I've not put you first all the time. I've in many areas of my life with my time and other things that I do, and I repent, and I turn to say, God, I want you to be first in my job, with my relationships, with my time, with my serving. I want you to be first, because I know that when you're first, that everything else will be redeemed, and that there will be no longer any curse on my life or anything that I own or anything that I do, that your blessing will be on it. And I want to live in that realm where you're the first in my life, in the kingdom of God, where you exist above all things, that you uphold all things with the word of your power, that you created it all and you sustain it all by your power. And so, God, I enter into faith right now as we prepare our hearts to give to you of our tithes and offerings, that you, God, are first in my life. And I put you to the test to see if you will not open the windows of heaven and pour your blessing out upon my life and my ministry. And then rebuke the devourer, God. Lord, there's some areas of my life that are in chaos. There's some areas of my life that are in confusion and disruption and disintegration. And I pray, God, that you would begin to turn things around. And I stand in faith for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I want you to believe that today as you give. If you need an offering envelope for a record of your giving, Brother Delvin, if you could help Opal.